Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
What's taking place these days with the infestation of false Christianity within the political realm is making it necessary to spend a little more time looking at this whole issue of politics. And you know, my program is discerning, or deception in the last days, and warning people about the various forms that the deceptions are taking and the ways in which the enemy is trying to deceive men's souls, men and women. And so, you know, we cover a lot of different ground here. We don't cover just cults. We cover various spiritual movements within professing Christianity now, not just cults that are outside of the Christian church, not the Jehovah's Witnesses gathering hall over here, the Kingdom Hall, or the Mormons groups, or, you know, it's because of the times we live in, because of this great apostasy that Christ warned us of. You know, Matthew 24:4, he said, beware lest any man deceive you. They wanted to know what would be the signs of his return and the end of the age. And before he talked about earthquakes in diverse places and kingdoms rising against kingdoms and all the things he talked about, very first thing he said was, beware lest any man deceive you. He didn't want his followers to be deceived for a season. I don't believe that you can lose your salvation personally. I don't. But I do believe that you can be neutered, so to speak, spiritually neutered by the enemy, to where you're really on the shelf because you're trapped in some cult. You're trapped in some futile, time-wasting, works-oriented waste of time when you could be serving the living God and serving your Lord and getting the gospel out and helping to keep people from being deceived, you know, helping deliver people from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. There is a kingdom of darkness, and there is a kingdom of light. And within the kingdom of darkness, there's all various shapes and colors and hues of deception. And, you know, it's quite a lot to cover, a lot of things that we look at. But thanks be unto God that he's raised up watchmen on the wall. Many, you know, not enough probably, or not enough. I should say, I wish there were more, but he's raised up many watchmen on the wall to do the same type of thing that I'm doing in this spoken format, and just pray for all of those that you know of. Pray for us at Rapture Ready Radio. Pray for me and my ministry, because we all have a ministry, and God will use us in whatever he's called us to do. Anyway, I didn't mean to say all that. I don't know where all that came from, but I guess the Lord led me to say it. But I want to, you know, as I was saying about last week's podcast, I was getting a little bit fired up because whenever I see deception, as a watchman on the wall, I want to warn people. I want to warn people about things like the social gospel that seem, oh, so loving, and, oh, isn't this great, caring about, you know. But God is a God of love, but he's God of justice. And God is also a God of, you know, who's spoken to us his word to be a guide unto our feet, you know, a lamp unto our path. And so we need to go to the word of God, not the philosophies of men, not the deceptions, the experiential deceptions that come about through contact with demons. There's so much afoot these days that I've been spending a lot of time because of the current events surrounding the election. So let me move on now. We were looking at an article last week, and it's from the Christian Post, called Evangelical Leaders Sign the Chicago Invitation to Counter Pro-Trump Narrative of Evangelicism. It's by Samuel Smith in the Christian Post. And I'm going to go back to that article. And just, I want to say this, you know, I don't know President Trump's heart. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I hope he is. I know he's surrounded by Christians. But pray for our president. We're supposed to do that according to the word. And I will just say that I'm thankful for our president. I'm thankful that he's not a globalist, that he supports our nation. He puts the United States. That's the way God wants people to be in their own country. He doesn't believe in a one-world government. Satan does, and he will attempt that, of course, as we know in the book of Revelation, at some time in the future. But anyway, in this article, and so pray for, you know, President Trump, and realize that nobody's perfect, and there's no perfect president. But realize that he supports Israel. Realize he's against globalism. Realize he's against the violent fake religion of Islam. Anyway, these folks that this article is referring to that are having problems with Trump and the people associated with Trump, supporters of Trump, Christians, people who claim to be Christians, who support Trump, and I'm one of them, you know, these other folks have a problem with that. And you know why? Because these other folks are liberals. These are wannabe Christians. Are really, they're wannabe replacing Christianity is what they're really wanting. And if you followed this series that I've been doing of some of these current events, you'll recall that the White House Trails had a little booklet called They Hate Christianity, But They Love Another Jesus. And it, you know, and in that booklet, we touched on just how the attempts to help bring about a liberal, godless, I would say, unbiblical type of Christian influence upon politics. So anyway, let me tell you how I really feel. we were in this article. I want to go back to the article. It says, we recommit. This is the people that, from the left, that these so-called evangelical leaders who are signing the Chicago invitation, they're saying, we recommit to an evangelical faith that follows Jesus' example of living and sharing a gospel that always proclaims good news to the poor and freedom for the oppressed. And yet, Jesus' example of living and sharing his gospel, it was a gospel, his example of living and his main reason for living and for being here was to come and to die in our place, to shed his blood, the blood atonement, which so many on the left don't even believe in. They believe it's an abhorrent doctrine, something, we don't want to even talk about such a horrible thing. And yet, no one is a Christian unless they've come to Christ and had their sins washed clean, washed away by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, you know, Jesus' example, really, of coming and dying on a cross to give us eternal life, that's the good news. That's what gospel means. That's what it's good news, that Jesus came and did that and proclaimed that, and he wants true Christians to proclaim that. The Great Commission is about getting the gospel out, not building a socialistic utopia here on earth like Jim Jones tried to do, who was actually a liberal, not some wild-eyed conservative fundamentalist, as the left would have you believe. Which I will be getting into down the road in this series that I'm now involved with. The article goes on to say, the document also commits those who signed it to love and protect all people, including those of color, refugees, women, LGBT communities, indigenous groups, people with disabilities, and anyone who is marginalized, hungry, thirsty, imprisoned, or sick. Wow. That sure sounds good, I guess, to some people somehow. But, you know, let's just take, for example, the LGBT communities. We want to love them, right? Now, how do we love the LGBT communities? Well, God says, speak the truth in love. I want to love them the same way I love any lost sinner. I want to love them by telling them the truth, that they are a sinner, that they have the need for salvation only through Christ. That's the loving thing I want to tell those in the LGBT community. And I want to tell the refugees, hey, our country welcomes you as long as you come through legal channels. And God loves you whether you come to this country or not. And Jesus died for you too. That's how I want to love them. Tell them the truth. I don't want Muslim infiltrators coming through the borders, and in the name of love, oh, just let them in illegally, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay with God. It's not okay with the government. It's not okay for me to go to other governments or other countries without a passport or a visa, you know, and break their laws. No, I've traveled all over the world. Never did that. Never did break their laws. I did it the legal way, right? So anyway, but this is what they say. And anyone who is marginalized, hungry, thirsty, imprisoned, or sick. Now, what they're really talking about here is their misinterpretation of Matthew 25. You know, if you read Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, you see that you're standing on Jewish ground, so to speak, in Matthew 24. Those words there are specifically to the Jewish people, the believers at that time, as Christ is warning them about things like, pray that you don't travel, that your flight is not on the Sabbath, because they had travel restrictions. And there's various reasons why it's clear that whole thing there in Matthew 24 and 25 was basically future events that were coming. And then, of course, in Matthew 25, where Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. I think so much of that is really talking about how were the 144,000 Jews preaching in the book of Revelation, you know, how are they treated? How were they treated by the nations of the world? Anyway, otherwise you come up with the social gospel, false works gospel of, you know, doing X amount of works, giving, you know, visiting so many prisons so many times. You know, it doesn't say that. How many times are you supposed to visit the prisoners? How many glasses of water are you supposed to give? How, you know, you get the point. We're not saved by works. But Matthew 25, as interpreted by the social gospel liberal heretics, puts you into a false gospel of works. Okay? So we won't go into belabor that any further. It says, we commit to resisting all manifestations of racism, white nationalism, and any forms of bigotry, all of which are sins against God, the invitation declares. You know what bothers me about the statement? I'm against racism. I'm against racism as it takes the form of various Aryan groups, you know, the white racists, but I'm also against the Black Lives Matters racists. I'm also against racism of any race who chooses to be racist. And when it says white nationalism, well, they've attacked Trump because he says he's a nationalist, because he's not a globalist is what he's saying. Very clear. He puts the U.S. first. He won't be part of the globalist agenda, which is what God wants for any leader to do and to say. The Antichrist wants globalism, and he will bring it first season, as you read in the book of Revelation. But what the media, and now what the fake Christian people here would say, is if you're a nationalist, that means you're some kind of a racist. You're a white nationalist. Well, I'm white, and I'm a nationalist. I guess I'm a white nationalist. Yeah, all right, I'm a white nationalist. Okay, is that okay? Well, no, not in their definition. If you say if you would confess that you're a white nationalist, well, you must be a member of the Ku Klux Klan or a Nazi, right? No, I hate racism. I hate Nazism because of for many reasons, of course, but because they persecuted God's chosen people, the Jews. You know, God still has a plan for Israel. Not all of Israel will be saved. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's going to be a remnant of people that will still be saved. But God's not through with the nation of Israel because he's made promises, and God's not a liar. And God will fulfill the promises he's made to that land. But anyway, I'm going in a different direction here, and I want to get back in the interest of time. So white nationalism, that's a buzzword. They throw that out. Like, we are going to resist white nationalism. Well, you know, as long as you're not resisting nationalism, which of course you are, because you're more into the globalist idea because you want to help build this socialist kingdom here on earth in the name of Jesus, right? Anyway, those who signed on to the Chicago invitation include, and here's how you can know that what I'm saying is true when you hear the names, Wallace, Jim Wallace of Sojourners, Executive Director, Adam Taylor of the Red Letter Christians, Red Letter Christians, Tony Campolo, and Shane Claiborne, an activist. So apparently Adam Taylor is the involved with either Sojourners or Red Letter Christians. It's not clear in the article. But Tony Campolo and Jim Wallace and Shane Claiborne, I'm familiar with all of them, and they're progressives, and they deny certain essential doctrines of Christianity, and I don't believe that they're Christians. Only God knows their hearts, but we have to test what they teach. And these activists, they're more activists than they are Christians. And then author Lisa Sharon Harper, who I heard speak locally as she was representing Sojourners when she was with them. She promoted the Black Lives Matters in one of the workshops there at the get-together they had. And, you know, all of these people, getting back to Relevant Magazine, which, again, I'm hovering around Relevant Magazine because we are going to go into more detail down the road. All of these people that I've mentioned here, or at least Campola, Claiborne, Wallace, and Harper, have contributed to Relevant Magazines because the magazine represents false Christianity at many levels. Now, I would say that these individuals that I just mentioned, we might refer to them as the usual suspects, or we might refer to them as useful idiots. And that's not meant to be an insult just for the sake of insults. You know, the useful idiots, that phrase was a phrase that Marxists came up with when they could use people to promote their cause of Marxism, sometimes the people unknowingly promoting that Marxism. I don't know, once again, these people's hearts as to whether they are knowingly promoting Marxism. I mean, they are promoting socialism, and they're not promoting biblical Christianity. That's good enough for me. But choose your pick. Usual suspects are useful idiots. Anyway, Joel Hunter, a former megachurch pastor who served as one of President Barack Obama's spiritual advisors, he was also one that was there for this Chicago invitation, and he prayed at the 2008 Democratic National Convention. He also signed the statement. And I put a little note there that when he was one of those who served as Obama's spiritual advisors, I put, well, you know, you ought to be sued for malpractice. I'm laughing at my own joke. Isn't that terrible? He was a spiritual advisor to Barack Obama, who, of course, promoted Islam, was anti-Israel, and really was not pro-Christian, in word only, maybe. Anyway, other signatories, and by the way, of course, I've said many times, Wallace was also served as a Barack Obama's, one of his organizers to bring in the evangelical vote, and actually did a good job of bringing about 25% of people who claimed to be evangelicals voted for Barack Obama. And I, at the time, I was going, what? Anyway, other signatories include several people who will go unmentioned, as I want to concentrate on one or two names. There's a lady named Mae Cannon, who's the author of the Social Justice Handbook, who previously served at Willow Creek Community Church in Illinois and at World Vision. And so I have actually her book right here available to comment on. I'm not going to comment on the book other than to just say it's called Social Justice Handbook, Small Steps for a Better World. That's by her. And I have a few other books I'll mention in passing because, you know, this social gospel, social justice, it's all the rage now, isn't it? I have another book here. I have two, actually, three. All three of these are coming from a Catholic perspective. One's called Living God's Justice, forward by Bishop Robert Mornow. And this is published by the St. Anthony Messenger Press. And then you have The Christian Call to Justice and Peace by Joseph Stoutzenberger. And this is published by St. Mary's Press, another Catholic. And then the Word Among Us is a Christian, a Catholic newsletter. And in this, Works of Love, Works of Justice, talking about the life and legacy of Dorothy Day, who was a big social justice type advocate. Now, I just mentioned those. There are others. I have others in my library, and I don't know exactly where they are now, but I thought I would just throw those out because this is a big deal, of course, and you're going to see this whole social gospel continue to come at you, not just in the Catholic Church, but also, of course, and with Pope Francis now being so ultra left wing as he is, you're going to see more and more of this in the Catholic Church. But of course, you're also going to see it from progressives, emergents, and contemplatives within the professing non-Catholic Church. Now, the last page of this article, it says, reaffirming the truth about evangelicalism is critical, in part because public perceptions of evangelicals continue to undermine and hurt the very witness and reputation of the Christian Church as a whole. Wallace, Jim Wallace, and Taylor wrote in a joint op-ed. Oh, I see. Taylor does work with Sojourners. I see. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of educating myself here. I that last quote was a little confusing to me. But, yeah, Wallace, Sojourners Executive Director Adam Taylor. So they're both with Sojourners. Okay. And then the article written by Wallace and Taylor Wednesday. And you know, it says that these public perceptions continue to undermine and hurt the very witness and reputation of the Christian Church as a whole. And my comment is, no, hating Jesus Christ and his true gospel and his true followers come when you hold to God's truth. In other words, people are going to hate Christ. Jesus said that they're going to hate me, and he said, because they hate me, they're going to hate you too. That is, they're going to hate true Christians. You know, when they talk about these public perceptions of evangelicals and undermining and hurting the witness and reputation of the church, what church are you talking about? You know, you're not talking about the church that I serve or the Christ that I serve, because I serve the Christ who gave us the true gospel, for which we will be persecuted for, and for which Christ said. He said, they're going to hate me, they're going to hate you. So, the witness of sharing the true gospel is going to be rejected by many, and you'll be hated by many. But truth is not being undermined, and the reputation of the true church is not being undermined. But what's taking place is by these false Christians who are going to be part of the harlot church. Well, they really are now, I guess you could say. But at the time when the Antichrist is revealed, those that are going to be a part and used really by the Antichrist to further his goals, they're the ones who are undermining and hurting the very witness and the reputation of the true Christian church. They say, sadly, many unaffiliated Americans who represent the fastest growing group of our religious landscape often don't differentiate between evangelicals and other Christians. By correcting the public narrative to include diverse evangelicals, we can help rehabilitate the perception of evangelicals and enable our nation and the church to better cross the bridge into a more inclusive, multiracial future that mirrors God's kingdom come. And I had to add a few little notes, like when they say the public narrative to include diverse in evangelicals, I of course put perverse evangelicals, because when they talk about these diverse evangelicals, they're talking about people like themselves who come claiming to be Christians and denying the very Lord who bought them, denying the atonement, denying many of the truths. All of these are essential doctrines that they deny. And some of them deny almost all of them. Some of them deny some of them. But denial of essential truths, well, if they're essential and they're denying them, what does that tell you about those people who are claiming to be Christians? So pray for those people. Pray for people like Wallace and Campolo, you know, that they truly be saved. And I put another note. Well, of course, I underlined inclusive. You know, Jesus Christ said he wanted all to be saved, right? He was willing that none perish. But he also was exclusive, wasn't he? No one comes to the Father but by me, he said, John 14:6. He was not inclusive. He didn't say any old way will do, or come any religion you choose is fine with me. That's the thing that people like Wallace and Campolo these progressives, these emergents, that's what they would say, contemplatives who want to join with the mystical traditions of other false religions, along with the, you know, the Catholic mysticism that they practice, they want to see that as being essentially the same as the pagan religions practices, and it is. That's the sad issue, is that it is an interfaith practice, an ecumenical type practice that they're comfortable with, these pagan religions, because it's basically the same thing that they're doing. Now, basically, I just said, oh, why don't you just give it up and be a real Christian? And I would say a real fundamentalist Christian, you know? Go back to the fundamentals of the faith. That's what we got to do now, because they're rejecting the essentials. It says, in May, a group of about 50 evangelical leaders met at Wheaton College to discuss the state of evangelicism in the era of Trump. Wallace was one of the leaders who attended that meeting. What we are now engaged in is spiritual warfare, as described in the scriptures. I would agree we're involved in spiritual warfare. I know I am, but Wallace is not involved. At least, he's not on the good side of this spiritual warfare. He's helping to bring spiritual warfare against the true church, against the true faith, against the true gospel, and the true Christ. And it really reminds me, so he got one thing right, at least he got the term spiritual warfare. There is a spiritual warfare going on. But I think if we put Wallace, you know, in the popular, a popular colloquialism or the popular vernacular, I'd say that Wallace is jive, okay? You know, I'm not racist. You know, I have black friends, white friends, Asian friends, Hispanic friends. But I like that black term, you know, jive, you know, because Wallace is jive when it comes to spiritual matters. And, you know, can't go into detail, but there was a book about Wallace years ago called Jim Wallace, Revive Us Again, A Sojourner's Story. And I had commented on this in other podcasts, and I would have said a better term would have been Jim Wallace, Autobiography of a Rebel and His Misinterpretation of Matthew 25. You know, in this book, he describes, you know, the rebellion and the anarchy that he was involved with when he was a student at Trinity Seminary, and how Clark Pinnock befriended him. Clark Pinnock was once an advocate and a defender of the inerrancy of Scripture, and then later denied it, and then went farther and farther into other heresy, just as Fuller Seminary did. I'm out of time. God bless you all. I hope you'll be back with me next week. Until then, or if the Lord comes, God bless you all. Good night.